The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, the King James Version of the Bible. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have said to you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and they held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go to Galilee, and there shall they see me.
Thank you.
The message of Easter is filled with the assurance of eternal life, and each of us has an inner knowing of the truth contained in the words, "Christ is risen." It is important to remember that the Easter message is as vital and alive today as it was that early morning over 2,000 years ago. A waiting world rejoices today in the truth contained within the resurrection, and all around us we see the bounty of spring shedding its death of winter for the rebirth of joy, of hope, and of growth. Truly, this is a time of miracles, and life freely showers us with its miracles wherever we look. Echoes of the resurrection reach us from every budding tree, from each unfolding flower, and through the sweet melodies of the birds celebrating new life. Right now is our day. As we use the gift of this day, let us weave for ourselves a new tapestry of eternal life. Only that which is good and true and beautiful will make up the design. And so we choose wisely the materials that we will use. Into our tapestry of eternal life, we blend the harmony and the balance of the following things. Upon the framework of peace, held together by the band of love, we weave the golden threads of understanding, creating a design that is filled with wisdom. And as we add the color of acceptance to the background of faith, we discover joy filling every part of our creation. Absolute patience and trust in God's good will align themselves in perfect order within our tapestry. It is in gratitude that we weave the hues of freedom and unselfishness into our work, and God adds to the labor of our hearts health, abundance, and illumination. Then we know the truth. A truth that makes Easter alive in our hearts and in our minds. Yes, Christ is risen in me. Christ is risen in you. Christ is risen in all of our world. We are one with the resurrection, one with the resurrection of the Spirit of perfect love. Let us take a moment now to acknowledge the omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient Father, who is the source and the substance of all of life. Will you please join me now in affirming the Divine Science Statement of Being? You'll find the Statement of Being on the inside of your Sunday program. And following the Statement of Being, we will have a brief period of silence for personal contemplation and meditation. Let us begin. God is all, visible and invisible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individualized expression of God and is ever one with this perfect light, perfect love, and perfect substance. The ushers, please come forward for the offertory. Father, we come to worship this morning, to praise your holy name, and to commune with you. We come also to give thanksgiving for your unlimited blessings. Today, with love and with gratitude, we give to one another in your nature. Amen.
Thank you.
thank you for the most beautiful music given with love. Thank you so much. Over 2,000 years ago, the greatest drama the world has ever known took place. It surpasses even the drama of the Nativity. On that Easter morning long ago, a man rose from the tomb. He had been crucified. He had been declared dead. But on the third day, he rose. It seems that the resurrection of Jesus is the only instance of a self-induced resurrection. It was not the first resurrection, but it was the first time that it had been self-induced. Several hundred years before Jesus' resurrection, Elijah had raised up the widow's son. Later, his friend Elisha performed a similar demonstration in raising a dead son of another woman. And then, of course, we remember Jesus raising his son Lazarus from the tomb. But never before has one resurrected himself. Jesus performed this seemingly impossible feat. He prefaced it by saying, "He who believeth in me will also do the works that I do." Many people would react to this statement by saying, "Why, that's impossible. Jesus Christ can do that, but not any ordinary human being like you or me." Only a stupid, foolish person would believe something like that. But that's not so. Funk and Wagnall's Bible Dictionary was written by theological scholars of the first rank. In their comments about the resurrection of Jesus, they say this: "The greatest flood of light comes from the resurrection of Jesus himself. First, it establishes the fact that there is vitality within the physical life of man, which, when the outward forces of that life appear to be dissipated, can draw them back and reconstruct them. Since the resurrection of Jesus, this may be taken to be a cosmic law, of which that event was the first historic application. Secondly, it illustrates the fact that the material body of the resurrection must undergo a great change, that it must transcend some of the limitations under which the body exists before death. The exact quality of the change is not made clear, but the fact suggests the existence of a hidden power within the personality, the soul of man, which, if developed, might control the bodily organisms completely. Jesus seems to have had this control. He attenuated, rarefied, or made less dense his body sufficiently enough to pass through closed doors. He made it unrecognizable to very close friends. On the other hand, he assimilated its conditions of normal earthly things, like eating and drinking. And thirdly, the resurrection of Jesus infused vigor and stability into a whole realm of religious experience. It vitalized the faith of men in invisible realities of the spiritual world. That is the spiritual approach to the subject of body renewal. But let us see what the scientific approach has to say about body renewal and revitalization. Some years ago, a team of doctors conducting a research study at the University of Illinois College of Medicine issued a report that said, "There's something within the human system, something which is still beyond medicine's ability to comprehend or to exploit, which can control many now hopeless cancers. If our scientists can discover the processes which wrought these regressions, we will have at our disposal a potent new weapon against cancer." Now, to me, it is simple. the mighty healing and the resurrection power that God implanted in us when he created us, and that was demonstrated by Jesus Christ in his resurrection. This natural immune system is a divine tendency to rise above sickness, to rise above disease, and to rise above even death. This was the divine tendency that enabled Jesus to go through the crucifixion and experience the resurrection, which we now observe as Easter. Jesus knew about this natural immune system, or this spiritual power within him, because 3 years before his crucifixion, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Bible makes it very clear that he was talking about his body. Easter is a reminder to each and every one of us of the tremendous spiritual potential that is in each and all of us. If you doubt the spiritual power living within you, remember the words of the Apostle Paul. "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit which dwells in you." If we accept this idea that we can develop the capacity to renew and resurrect our bodies, how do we go about doing such a thing? Are there some secret or mysterious steps that we have to take? No. There is no secret. There are no mysterious steps. We do it by unifying ourselves with this renewing and resurrecting power of God. We do it through prayer and meditation. Isn't the principal work of each human being to seek God? Isn't that what we're here for? We are here to seek and to know God. That's all. We may think that we are here seeking something else. Perhaps we seek health or peace of mind or greater financial freedom. Anyone who is seeking these things is really searching for God. But it is not until we find God can we find these things in a way that will satisfy us. We may develop strong bodies, we may develop strong minds, and we may acquire perfect health through outer means. But acquiring these things never satisfies us unless they are acquired through spiritual means. James, in his letter to some of the Jewish converts, said, "Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of light." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is universal in its meaning. It applies to your life and to my life, and the life of every single person in this world. Jesus was not resurrected for himself alone, but for you and for me, to show us the way and to help us to ascend into a new life of God every hour of every day. We are not bound by old conditions, no matter what they are. Neither sickness, nor lack, nor limitation of any kind can keep you bound. The power of God in you can lift you above all of these things. God is active in you right now to help you ascend to a new awareness of life. It is through his strong awareness of life that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And through your ascended awareness of these truths, you too can be resurrected out of the dead past and raised to a new life of freedom. Perhaps it isn't quite as difficult as we sometimes imagine it or make it to be. All we really have to do is lift up our heads, lift up our thoughts, and open the gates and the doors of our minds to the inflow of Spirit. I have a little story to share with you now. A man was walking down the street in a large city when he suddenly saw in a store window a beautiful picture of the crucifixion. He gazed spellbound at the picture for several long minutes, and then suddenly he became aware of a ragged little boy standing beside him, also gripped by the picture. The man touched the boy on the shoulder, and he said, "Sonny, what does it mean?" And looking up at him, the boy said, "Don't you know?" Pointing to the picture, the boy said, "That there man is Jesus, and them others is Roman soldiers, and the woman that's crying is his mother." And he added, "They killed him." Thoughtfully, the man left the window and started walking down the street. And in a moment, he heard footsteps falling behind him. He looked around and he found the little boy was standing beside him. "Say, mister," the boy said breathlessly, "I forgot to tell you." He rose again. Because he rose again, you and I too can rise again. This is the message of Easter. We can rise into a new awareness of the presence and the power of God, active in every detail of our lives, blessing us in every conceivable way. Let this day be the Easter of your life. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Take a moment now to please get comfortable in your seat. Close your eyes. Rest your feet on the floor. And place your hands comfortably in your lap or at your sides. And just relax for a moment. Be still. Be very still. Quiet your mind. Let go of all of the things that are outside of this peaceful and holy sanctuary. Let go of all those worrisome thoughts that are swirling around in your head. Let go of any anger, any resentment, any jealousy that you may be holding on to. And just be still. Be still. Go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms, unconditional love, and an abundance of peace. O gracious and loving Father, let this be my Easter day. Let this be the day that I awaken and rise to the spiritual consciousness of the I Am in me, which has been dead and buried in the tomb of the human world of materiality, in sin and disease and in lack. Let my mind and body be restored to its original, perfect, and undying state. I have been duped by the material trappings of this world, and I am in need of restoration and reviving. Let me get that mind that was in Christ Jesus. The truth of my being is the same as my brother, Jesus the Christ. I am the light of the world hidden under a bushel. On this day of Easter, Father, I ask humbly that you open my eyes that I may see more clearly the light of truth. On this Easter day, Father, I ask that you open my ears that I might hear that which is good and pure and true. On this Easter day, Father, I ask that you open my heart, that I may love as you have loved me, freely, without judgment or condition. Let me live the life of goodness, of peace, of joy, and love, and let me be whole. The life which you created me to live. Lift my consciousness, Father, that I too might rise from the dead of materiality and ascend to the new heaven and a new earth. For the awareness that this prayer has already been answered, O most gracious and loving Father, I am most grateful and I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and raises you from the dead to a new heaven and a new earth.